The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
New federal data showing the U.S. economy slowed down by just under 1 percentage point in the second quarter after a 1.6% slide in the first quarter of the year. That's commonly understood as a recession. However, the National Bureau of Economic Research no longer defines two back-to-back quarters of shrinking GDP as an official recession. Still, the undeniable cooling of the U.S. economy in the face of record inflation means the pain for American families is no less real. The average American now paying an extra $493 a month due to rising prices on everything from groceries to housing.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew again today. He'll be back tomorrow. Do we dare use the R word? Have you driven by a gas station? Did you go get groceries today? Did you open up or take a look online at your credit card bill and what the interest rate is? We begin with money news again. You and I are buying less. Big companies are buying less. And those are the contributing factors to the gross domestic product shrinking again in the second quarter. We're going to give you some help on that coming up in just a few minutes. But again, as you just heard in that clip, it's down 0.9%. Two quarters in a row, and it's up for debate today. There's a lot of talk about whether or not two quarters in a row means a recession. But ABC News business correspondent Alexis Christophorus says, now it's not quite a recession.
We're in what's called a technical recession, which is two back-to-back quarters of negative growth. It's when the economy has shrunk for two straight quarters. And that's what we've had so far in 2022. The first 3 months of the year, this economy shrank by a dramatic 1.6%. And then from April to June, it shrank another 0.9%. Now, you do need to consider, though, that these numbers get revised very often. So we could actually see that that number is better in the government's revision.
And just 15 minutes ago, President Biden was out and he says, everybody relax.
There's going to be a lot of chatter today on Wall Street and among pundits about whether we are in a recession. But if you look at our job market, consumer spending, business investment, we see signs of economic progress in the second quarter as well.
And about 90 minutes ago, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen spoke about today's numbers. And she says, coming out of the pandemic, couple that with rising prices, that put us in an economic perfect storm.
This is a very unusual situation in that coming out of the pandemic, we have a set of supply chain challenges that continue to affect the economy. It's hard to know just what the time frame is for those supply chain pressures to resolve. I think there are some positive signs that we're seeing that suggests that inflation is likely to come down in the days ahead.
But Secretary Yellen says it's hard to know how many days are ahead of us. She pointed to continued job growth and low unemployment as positive developments. Let's do the math on inflation. I think you probably heard the numbers as we were opening the program today. You and I are paying on average $493 more a month for housing and groceries.
This has been very stressful overall because everything's going up, but my paycheck.
Plus, borrowing money is going to get harder because the interest rates are going up 0.75 percentage point. Here's Fed Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell this morning.
My colleagues and I are acutely aware that high inflation imposes significant hardship, especially on those least able to meet the higher costs of essentials like food, housing, and transportation.
And again, we'll go inside those numbers in just a couple of moments here on the Drew Mariani Show. The United States and Russia are talking about a swap today. It's a prisoner swap. The U.S. would exchange Russian arms dealer Viktor Bout for WNBA star Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan, who've been jailed in Russia. Here's Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby.
This has been going on for a while, and we just haven't been able to come to fruition on it. We obviously hope that the Russians will accept the proposal that's been offered so that we can bring these two Americans home.
Now, Whelan is a U.S. Marine. He's been sentenced to 16 years. The Russians accused him of espionage. He's been in jail in Russia for the last 3.5 years. And the news of that swap was welcome to Whelan's brother David in Novi, Michigan.
I think we were all taken by surprise yesterday when the announcement was made. And it's nice also to know that the offers are being made. Hopefully the Russian government will take the concessions that have been made and allow Paul to come home.
And of course, you know the Brittany Griner story. She's been detained since last February. This month, she pleaded guilty to carrying vape cartridges, even though Her attorney says they were prescribed by her doctor. No word yet from the Russian government over the proposed prisoner swap. And today, Pope Francis is in his fifth day, this Canadian pilgrimage. This morning, the Holy Father celebrated Mass at the shrine of St. Anne de Beaupré. And that's where he recalled how Jesus always walks with us to help us move beyond our failures and to focus on the hope of God.
Truly, we must not put ourselves at the center of our questions, our inner struggles, or of the pastoral life of the Church. Instead, we must put Him, the Lord Jesus. Let us make His word central to everything we do, for it sheds light on all that happens and restores our vision. It enables us to see the operative presence of God's love and the potential for good, even in apparently hopeless situations.
And Pope Francis encouraged the Church in Canada to look to the Blessed Virgin Mary and other women of Easter morning who showed the disciples the truth of Jesus' resurrection. The Holy Father is in Canada for what is called a penitential pilgrimage, to atone for the Church's role in physical and mental abuse to Indigenous children who were forcibly removed from their homes to attend church-run boarding schools to assimilate them into Christian Canadian society.
Even though we are the community of the risen Lord, we can find ourselves confused and disappointed before the scandal of evil and the violence that led to Calvary. At those times, we can do little more than cling to our sense of failure and ask, what happened? Why did it happen? How could it happen? Brothers and sisters, these are our own questions. And they are the burning questions that this pilgrim church in Canada is asking. With heartfelt sorrow on its difficult and demanding journey of healing and reconciliation, in confronting the scandal of evil and the body of Christ wounded in the flesh of our Indigenous brothers and sisters, we too have experienced deep dismay. We too feel the burden of failure.
I was watching the Mass this morning, and near the end of the procession, at the start of Mass, two people made their way to the front of the pulpit, and they held up this large banner that read, "Rescind the Doctrine." Now, that banner, and this is another point of the Holy Father's visit to Canada, that banner is a reference to something called the Doctrine of Discovery. You've heard us talk about it. It refers to a centuries-old papal edict that justified the colonization, the conversion, and the enslavement of non-Christians and the seizure of their lands. And some Indigenous scholars say that laid the foundation for the Indian Act in Canada. And many members of the Indigenous communities across the country are still hoping that the Pope would rescind that doctrine during his trip to Canada. He's got one more day, and we'll continue to follow that here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. But first, let's get back to your money, because that's what we're all concerned about. That's what we're talking about, the GDP. You heard the numbers. Are we in a recession or not? The president wouldn't come out and say that. We had Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, point to strong job numbers, another 1.1 million jobs created at the same time the GDP shrunk. Unemployment remains low. So what's wrong with this picture? Let's connect some of those dots, and especially if you've got some of those credit cards with high interest rates and only going up higher with the change that's happening at the Fed. Let's talk about that right now with Paul Oster, who's the CEO of Better Qualified LLC. That's a company that specializes in business and consumer credit services. Paul, are we in a recession or not? What do you think?
I mean, that is the billion-dollar question, right?
Literally.
Like everything else, they keep moving the goalposts, right? So historically, if you had two quarters of shrinkage in the GDP, then you're in a recession. But now they're saying, well, wait a second, the jobs market is so robust, how could we be in a recession? I think it's only a matter of time before the jobs growth follows suit and it slows down. Hopefully it doesn't, completely tank, because then we would be in stagflation, which is a right, really, really bad place to be. When you have inflation during a recession, I mean, consumers will literally not be able to afford the goods and services that they need, not that they want, but you're going to be talking about food lines and you know, really bad things going on. So hopefully we don't get there.
I'm one of those millions of Americans who are living on Social Security alone as income, and you try not to dip into the piggy bank to pay the bills, and you don't want to put stuff on your credit cards because the interest rates are going up. So what's the best course of action so we don't revert to the credit cards with higher interest and affect our credit score?
Well, you just can't wing it, right? Unfortunately, most consumers just wing it. We don't live by a budget and a financial plan. We hope that at the end of the month, we have enough money to get us through the month, and we live right in a crisis mode. So we have to change our behavior here. Look, a lot, unfortunately, foreclosures are already up about 5% in June. So are early mortgage delinquencies. So are car auto financing delinquencies. These are all early indicators that consumers are starting to drown. So, look, I'm not always the most popular guy in the room because I say to consumers, what are you doing to make sure you can weather the storm? And if you don't change your behavior, you know, you could wind up in a hole that you can't dig yourself out of. So change your behavior and figure out how to cut expenses, right? I mean, basically, we're all on a fixed income, right? So where is the money going to come from? And even if it's not just to pay down your debt, not to increase your debt during this time. Because every time the Fed raises the rate, our credit card interest rates go up, right? So your listeners need to understand credit card interest rates are variable rate products. Every time the Fed raises the rate, your credit card interest rate goes up. So if you didn't put another dime on your credit card, you didn't increase your balances at all, it will take you longer and it will take you more money to pay off the same balances because the rates have gone up. So we have to come up with a plan. We have to sit down and put a household budget together and figure out where we can find some money. And most people say, Paul, I live paycheck to paycheck. I can barely pay my bills. But there's a great book out there called You're Broke Because You Want to Be, right? And unless you figure this out, you have to, you know, sit down and say, okay, where's all my money going?
Right.
And we've become a nation of subscriptions, right? Netflix, Hulu, Spotify, Xbox, Roblox, SPS, I don't know what number they're on, PS, whatever. All of these subscriptions add up. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but we've heard families, you're in the $200 a month range on subscriptions. Cancel the subscriptions. I'm not saying you have to do it for the rest of your life.
Right.
If you want to weather this storm, if you want to come out of this where, you know, maybe not unscathed, but you have less scars than the other people, cancel your subscriptions, go back to, you know, tightening the belt, buying what we need, not what we want. You know, maybe you keep the family vehicle an extra 6 months to a year. Maybe you don't go on vacation. Travel is out of control. We're traveling more now than we ever have. Where's the money coming from? So, you know, unfortunately, people are putting this stuff on their credit cards and they book these travel plans and stuff when the consumer confidence was at an all-time high. But now it's starting to wane and the consumers are starting to say, wait a second. Things aren't always going to get better. So,
yeah.
You know, here we are, you know, and only time is going to tell what really happens, you know, with the economy. We can't really control that, but what we can control ourselves is what we do with our lives and our behavior. So I'm pleading with your listeners, I'm pleading with consumers across the country, change your behavior. You guys nailed it. It's almost $500 a month more to pay for the same goods and services that you were paying for 6 months ago to a year ago. So you have to look at that and say, do I really need all that stuff? Because maybe I can cut that back to 400, 300, 200, 100, because I don't really need, you know, seven boxes of this or this and that. You know, so we have to change our behavior, and the sooner we do it, the better off we're going to be.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. What have you thrown overboard? How have you cut Now that inflation is up and you and I are paying an extra $500 round numbers for just the basics every month compared to a year ago. Paul Oster is helping us out, CEO, Better Qualified LLC, online, betterqualified.com. It's a company that specializes in business and consumer credit services. I'll tell you what I've thrown overboard. One thing I just did today, I've always leased a car. And I thought, well, okay, I don't really drive that much. So do I really need a car? So I called the dealership, and they're desperate for great used cars. And they said, sure, we'll take it off your hands. We'll pay it off. That'd be great. You're coming in 11:30 tomorrow to get that. So what will you do to get around? I'll take the bus. I'll walk. All right. It's, you know, a little bit of a sacrifice, but that's okay. Cable company. Cut the cable. Put an antenna. Remember antennas? Maybe you have one on your house. They're growing again. I cut the cord. Between that and Apple TV, the bill reduced $100 a month. That's money in my pocket. The lease money. The money in my pocket. So, you know, again, you're just looking at basic cash flow and stuff that, yeah, maybe a sacrifice here and there, Paul, but it's just simply common sense.
No, it really is. And the operative word that you keep using is sacrifice, right? And again, I'm a realist. I get it. We have kids. Everybody wants to do different things. I'm not saying you have to do this for the rest of your life.
But also, isn't as you speak to kids, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, isn't this also a great lesson for them? Because, you know, when you look at the last generation of kids, if you've got kids who are teenagers, maybe in college, if they don't understand what the meaning of a dollar is and what that means to save it and to stretch it, you're going to lose them for life. You know this, Paul, right? So if there is a little bit of sacrifice that's going on here because of recession and the kids see it, those aren't bad seeds to plant in them.
No, now is the time to sit down as a family and have an open, honest discussion that says, hey, look, you know, the economy is we're in a tailspin, right? So, you know, it's so political. Now we don't want to say recession. Of course, you know, we're coming into midterm elections. We're going to move the goalposts, come up with different definitions. But the reality is we're not in a good spot, right? So as a family, we're going to decide who's going to sacrifice what. Maybe the kids get a part-time summer job, or they get a full-time part-time job, you know, for the rest of the year. So they have to come up with this and figure it out as a family. Plan it. It could be an awesome, you know, exercise for your family to say, and then at the end of it say, hey, we saved this much money during the recession, or whatever you want to call it. We saved this much money. We were able to cut these expenses, and we did it as a family. You just hit it again. You spot on. This is a great time for lessons as a family and for your children and for yourselves, because the reality is, you know, parents need to have these lessons and figure out what they're going to sacrifice so they don't. Nobody wants a crash landing as a macro economy, as a country, but the country's just built on a bunch of individuals. So we cannot not have a crash landing here. We have to make sure we have enough runway to get through this.
Paul Oster with his wisdom here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, 888-914-9149. As we try to save you some money here, and yeah, we are in a recession. We're using all kinds of different terms, but you know what it's like just simply looking at your bottom line at the end of the week or at the end of the month. Here are some numbers since last June, Paul. Energy costs up 41%. Gas prices up 59%. At-home food costs up 10.4%. They call it shelter costs. That's running your house, up 5.6%. I'm not sure anyone who's listening right now, I sure didn't, got a 41%, a 59%, a 10.4%, or even a 5.6% raise in the last year.
Well, listen, again, all of those numbers, everybody except the Fed and the current administration, it's all pointing towards a recession, for sure.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So beyond
It's also a time. Listen, your credit score has always cost or saved you money every single month.
Yeah.
But now it's even more imperative because, unfortunately, in this environment, the people that get hurt the worst are the middle class, right? So if you have lower credit scores, now is the time that you're going to pay more for everything. You know, again, the immediate impact is on credit cards. It's on home equity lines of credit. It's on auto financing. But the trickle-down effect is 30-year fixed mortgages. The trickle-down effect is for all interest rate financing. So if you're not a 740, that's the magic number. And it's not easy to be a 740. So if you're not a 740, you're going to pay more than the person next to you who is a 740 or above. So when you have to check your credit, go to annualcreditreport.com. That's the government's website. It's a good, safe place for you to check your credit for free. It doesn't hurt you to check your credit. Figure out what's on there. Listen, your consumer should know, as of July 1st, all paid medical collections should be deleted from your credit report. I will tell you that we're looking at credit reports every day, and paid medical collections are still on there. So, again, consumers have to be very proactive. They have to take control of the situation. The banks, the government, nobody's going to help them. They have to help themselves.
How do you get those medical numbers off your credit report if they're still up there?
Listen, it could be a very easy do-it-yourself. You do not have to hire anybody to help you in this situation, for sure. You can simply, you know, write a certified signed receipt letter to the credit bureaus and say, I demand that you remove this account from my credit report because of, as of July 1st, you agreed that you would not report, continue to report paid medical collections.
Right. And as Paul Auster mentioned, you can go to annualcreditreport.com. Check out your credit report for free, annualcreditreport.com. Teresa joining our conversation in Covina, California, as we look at credit money with Paul Auster of Better Qualified LLC online at betterqualified.com. Hi, Teresa. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
So bless both of you and Relevant Radio. Yes, years ago, somebody said, hey, don't pay your taxes, go on your trip. And I listened, and lo and behold, this is property taxes again. There was a notice in the newspaper that my home was being sold for taxes. And thank God a neighbor and a friend of my son's let him know, and we got it taken care of. But
wow.
That was scary. And again, they gave me no notice that they were doing this. So
right.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's informative, Teresa. Thank you. But talk about really bad advice. That's really bad advice, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do want to pay that. Is there a way we have a couple of moments remaining. Is there a way when we go into this money crunch that we have been living in and probably will continue to be in for the foreseeable future? Is there a way when we're pinching pennies to maintain or increase your credit score, get it to that magic number of 740 or above when we're trying to pinch pennies?
Yeah, not that it's easy, but it's certainly not complicated. The fastest way to increase your credit score is to pay down your credit card balances.
Yeah.
The FICO scoring model is not based on income. They have no idea what your income is. What they do know is how much credit is available and how much credit you're using. You want those credit card balances to be below 30% of the credit limits. As soon as you go over that, your credit scores start to come down.
Got it.
If you're carrying, listen, you don't want to carry any balances because you're paying 20% interest on it or more. But if you're carrying balances, try and pay them down below 30%. We spoke about how you can try and do that and find some money to do that. The good news is once you start this process, consumers are always amazed as to how fast that they can actually start to pay down their debt. It's called the snowball effect, and it will happen. You just have to be disciplined to do it.
There you go. It's funny you mentioned that because I must have gotten 5 pieces of email this week, and I didn't know about the 30% saying, hey, you're not using all your credit. You're nowhere near 30%. Here, let us see. We'll bring a dump trunk of money over to your house. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, don't fall victim to that. You know, people use their credit cards for miles, and, you know, it always just these are marketing geniuses that want us to use credit even when we don't have to. And it usually winds up going really, really badly. So pay down those credit cards as soon as possible. If you can still get a cash out refinance, look, rates have gone up, but they're still historically low at 6% or 5.5%. 5.5% is a lot better than 20%. So sit with somebody and do a holistic approach to this. Look at the big picture. Really, the only debt service you should have right now is a mortgage. If you're a renter, then you just have to figure out how you're going to start saving money. And trust me, don't throw your hands up in the air and say, I can't save any money. Have you tried? Have you put a plan together? Have you looked at it? Pen to paper or do it on the screen, a mobile device. Again, people are amazed that they can actually find some money to start paying down their debts.
Check out More Common Sense online at betterqualified.com. Betterqualified.com. Paul Auster is the CEO of Better Qualified LLC, a company specializing in business and consumer credit. It's going to save you money. Check out betterqualified.com. Paul, thanks. God bless.
Oh, God bless, and thanks for having me back on.
Take care. Paul Auster here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. So are we really in a recession or not? And of course, we're going to share some more money-saving tips coming up next here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Your news, the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your news now.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Most economists and most Americans have a similar definition of recession: substantial job losses and mass layoffs, businesses shutting down, private sector activities slowing considerably, family budgets under immense strain, in sum, a broad-based weakening of our economy. That is not what we're seeing right now. When you look at the economy, job creation is continuing. Household finances remain strong. Consumers are spending and businesses are growing.
That's Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on television just a couple of hours ago. John Harper on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And while the factors, when you lay them out on paper, may not suggest a recession in your house, it's probably different. Let's talk a little bit more about how you can save money and whether how many ever days this recession or not a recession will last, and what you and I can do to kind of weather this storm with a lot of common sense and the help of the Holy Spirit. Michael Gentile is the president and CEO of consultant financier Integritas in Canada. From 2003 to 2018, he worked as a professional money manager for Formula Growth Limited. That's an independent investment management firm established in Montreal. And for the last 4 years, he's been retired from full-time money management to spend more time with his family. And that's the real currency in this life. Michael, good afternoon.
Thanks, John. Glad to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Would you use the R word recession at this point in time?
To be honest with you, you obviously saw the GDP print today and, negative 0.9% GDP growth. But in my 20 years in the financial markets, I never really paid too much attention to the GDP prints, because what moves markets and what most of your viewers and listeners probably care most about is what's going to happen in the future. And so the GDP is always a backward-looking forecast, a real number. And so for me, what's most important is the GDP getting better or worse from here? That's really the question I think that's most pertinent to your listeners and to the economy as a whole. And also, unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be getting better since June. It seems to be getting worse. So I think the economy is probably decelerated since the GDP print. And so we're probably in a worse shape than we were 30 to 60 days ago. And that's really what we should be focusing on, and how to get out of that spiral as soon as possible.
And the coverage that we've seen today, Michael, says that the National Bureau of Economic Research, they're the people who put the imprimatur on recession. When they say it's a recession, it's a recession. And they do look at a wider range of economic indicators. And right now they say most of those indicators are trending upwards. That's nice to know, but recession is happening in my kitchen with my kids when I go to the gas station, when I go to the grocery store, and I just don't have a lot of confidence today. The latest poll, I can't recall the source, if it's NBC, if it's Pew, if it's another organization, it's a reputable organization, surveying registered voters across the country, giving President Biden only a 30% rating. Only 30% have confidence in how he's handling the economy. Don't mean to make politics out of it, but it's almost impossible to divorce it. But that's the mindset of America right now.
You're totally right. I think if you took 100 Americans and called them 6 months ago and then called them today and said, is your financial situation or your outlook on the economy and your own family budget better or worse today? I think 99 out of 100 would probably say it's worse. So that's really, whether you call it a recession or not, or what technical indicators you use, you're totally right, John. If you look at the three most important things that any family has to deal with, it's putting food on the table, it's transportation to and from work if they're fortunate enough to have a job, and putting a roof over their heads. And if you look at what food has done the last year or two, food basket's probably up 50 to 100% in terms of the stuff you actually want to buy and put on your table to eat. Your energy bills, your cost to fill up your tanks, probably up 50 to 100%. And if you have to go and get a new mortgage and refinance your mortgage, you're probably at 50 to 100% on your mortgage payment. So the reality is most Americans, most Canadians cannot sustain 50 to 100% increases in the three most important things in their budgets for their families. And so it's obvious to me, maybe not so obvious to the Federal Reserve or to the current governments in place currently, that the economy is going to suffer going forward if that continues to be the case, because there'll be less money to spend on vacations, less money to spend on restaurants, less money to spend on discretionary items, which drive the economy forward. So that's why you're seeing the economy soften. That's why you're seeing the economic data get progressively worse month over month. And then you throw fuel to the fire. I mean, Powell just increased interest rates by 75 basis points yesterday. And so that's adding to the strain that's going to be felt by the average American and Canadian family going forward. So, you know, my outlook for the economy is continued deceleration. Whether you want to call it a recession or not, it's not positive right now for the average consumer, American, Canadian citizens trying to get by in the everyday life.
Michael Gentile helping us navigate these choppy economic waters here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. If you need some help with that navigation, we're here at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Can you explain to me why Janet Yellen was doing this in her news conference? The president dealt with it very, very briefly when he stepped out about 2:45 Eastern time this afternoon to address issues of the economy. Why there seems to be a group of people in Washington, D.C. rooting for interest rates to go up so inflation will end. Isn't there any other way to curb inflation without making interest rates go sky high, which obviously affects our credit cards and other ways that we're borrowing money?
That's a great question, John. I would use a funny analogy for your listeners. Using interest rates to control inflation is kind of like using a hammer to kill a spider, right? I mean, you're using a very blunt instrument. Yes, you can slow inflation by using interest rates, because by rising interest rates, you're going to put the brakes, severe brakes on economic activity. It slows everything down. If you look at the 70s, which is the last time we faced a major bout of sustained inflation in the United States,
right. You
know, what really allowed the U.S. to get out of that was not so much Paul Volcker. And if you look at Marco Papic, is a Clock Tower Group, he put out a great piece for those of your viewers who want to go really deep in the weeds here like I like to, but he put a great piece out saying, look, the reason why inflation was tamed in the 70s was, yes, they rose rates, but we also had massive productivity gains. We had Ronald Reagan in the U.S., Margaret Thatcher in the U.K., who unleashed very pro-growth, pro-productivity, increasing the supply of lower-cost goods for consumers to buy. And we also had something called globalization, which has been going on for the last 50 years, which is, you know, offshoring the production from North America to global locations for lower-cost production, which has not been great for the American workers in general, but did lower costs dramatically on the goods they purchased. If you look what's happening today, yes, we're raising rates, but we have the opposite of pro-growth governments in both Canada and the U.S. We have governments that are interventionist, thinking that the more they spend, the more control they have of the economy, the better things are going to be. And we could talk about whether that's a good thing or not. And we have, deglobalization happening right now with the war that happened in Ukraine. You know, offshoring production is now reverting back to domestic economies, which may be a good thing in the long term, but it's very, very inflationary in the short term. So the idea that you can just tame inflation with interest rate hikes is false. You can do it, but it's going to cause a heck of a lot of pain between now and then. And that's why I think we need a more complete response, a more fulsome response from our governments rather than just raising interest rates and thinking that they can wave the magic government spending wand and make everything look good to tomorrow with their policies, which typically don't work.
Michael, when Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, was before cameras about 2 hours ago, she once again blamed President Putin's war in Ukraine over a lot of the inflation here in the United States. How legitimate is that to continue to point to at this juncture when we see how it's affecting our family's bottom line?
I think blaming the war in Ukraine is an excuse, a convenient excuse for the U.S. government. You know, in very simple terms, I think we've printed about $10 trillion of U.S. currency in the last 10 years. So we have, you know, $20 trillion. We printed an extra $10 trillion of currency. And just to make it very, very simple for your listeners, if you have, you know, two loaves of bread to buy and there's $2 in the world, and if you don't buy the loaf of bread, you die. A loaf of bread, in all logic, should be cost you a dollar. So you have $2, two loaves of bread, eat or die, that should be the price of a loaf of bread. If you print two more dollars, you have four pieces of paper running around chasing two loaves of bread. The loaf of bread should go from $1 to $2. So literally what they've done during COVID was print massive amounts of paper money. And that at some point in time was going to unleash inflation, whether it was a war in Russia or Ukraine or not. So the inflation was building and building and building. And for the last 18 months, they've been completely wrong, saying it's transitory, it's transitory, it's transitory. Finally, they admitted that it's not transitory. The war in Ukraine was putting, you know, gasoline on the fire, so to speak. The fire was already burning pretty strong, and the war in Ukraine just added a turbocharge to that inflationary pressure. But the inflation was coming regardless. So using the war in Ukraine as an excuse is a cop-out, in my opinion. No doubt it's exacerbated the problems, made it more pronounced. But this inflationary wave was coming without the war, and they're using that excuse to blame someone else as themselves for what they did. They printed way too much money, recklessly spent the money, gave it away left, right, and center. And now they're paying the price for that money printing that they went through.
And if you were like the wise virgins keeping oil in their lamps and the checks that we got during COVID, if you squirreled those away, you're probably in a little better shape today, right?
Correct. You know, I was trying to explain what inflation was to my three of my older girls in the car on the way to camp the other day. And I said, you know, if we're a family and we make $10,000 a month or whatever you're making, $5,000 a month, and you spend more than you make, at a certain point, your family's going to hit the wall. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your assets. You're going to be on the street. Only our governments are able to produce this fantasy where they take in $10,000 and spend $20,000 a year. And they go on and on doing that. They've just been exacerbating that problem year over year by spending more and more and more than they actually take in. And that causes inflation. That causes debt crisis. That causes a lot of the problems that we're seeing systematically pop up in our economy again and again. So at the very micro level, all your viewers and listeners will understand this very simply. You've got to live within your means. Like the wise virgins have the oil in your lamps. Our governments think borrow, 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 forget about tomorrow, live for today, get elected for tomorrow.
Yep.
Eventually, it comes to roost, right? And now they're paying the price. And unfortunately, those who pay the price are the citizens of the countries, especially the lower middle income consumers that can't afford this inflationary pressure, hitting them every week in the grocery store or at the fuel pumps.
You know, it's funny you mention that as we have our conversation with Michael Gentile and talking about inflation and recession that is indeed here, even though no one is actually using that R word in Washington, D.C. When you sit in this chair, you're blessed to talk to people that you wouldn't normally talk to. And this goes back to the beginning of 2009. Yeah, because it was right after President Barack Obama was elected. He's putting together his cabinet. And for Treasury Secretary, he was going to go across the aisle and he was speaking to Senator Judd Gregg, a Republican of New Hampshire, a very pragmatic guy, had the opportunity to talk to him several times. And of course, when his name popped up on the list, he turned down the offer. But when his name popped up on the list, I asked him the question, can you explain something to me? Why is it in Washington, D.C., we can't run the federal government the way we try to run our households, where we take in more than we spend? And I'll never forget, and I love Judd Gregg, never forget his answer. He said, well, you don't understand. And I thought, well, right, that answer is the problem in Washington.
Yep, you're totally right. If we had that kind of mentality, we would avoid a lot of the massive cyclical boom bust that we have in our economy, and we'd have a very responsible, stable currency and less inflationary pressure. And you know, I think most of those who are doing the family budgeting for the families who listen to your show could probably do a better job with the finances than the politicians in Washington. That is a sad reality. And yet we entrust these people with the biggest corporation in the world, the biggest budget, trillion-dollar budgets, and yet they can't even balance their books. And so that is a very sad state of affairs. But it's reflective of a generation of people who live off credit cards, who live off of pay today what you can't afford, and right. also pay it back later. That's a that's seeping into our politics and into our system. So it doesn't surprise me that the politics reflect the generation that hasn't really learned how to save and budget and be plan for the future or be aware of the future.
Joe's in Passaic, New Jersey, listening to our conversation, helping you save some money with Michael Gentile. Joe, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You got a credit card question.
Yes. God bless you all for what you're doing there. I got a credit score about 850, so I'm doing pretty good there. I'm getting these advertisements in the mail like to borrow money for 18 months at 0% interest. Did I take advantage of that as long as I could definitely pay it off in that time period?
Yeah, look, I mean, those are the teasers that the credit card companies use to attract new borrowings. You have a good credit score, so obviously trying to attract you as a customer. I mean, if you're one of the 1 in 100 people who are disciplined enough to borrow the money and have discipline to pay it all back when that 18-month window is over, it can be a good tool. But I would say for 99 people out of 100, I would not advocate using that because who knows what happens. If something happens, you lose your job, some financial situation changes, you put money in a credit card that you cannot pay back in the future. Now you're stuck paying 20% of your interest for the rest of that loan until you can pay it back. So it's a temptation. You know, debt can be used wisely for those that are not in debt, maybe to invest or to do certain things that can grow your net worth. But again, it's a dangerous game, and they're tempting you with money that they're offering you that money with the hope that you don't pay it back, just so you know what their motivation is. They're hoping that you do not pay it back. So just understand their motivation is and understand what your ability and understanding of the risk. That'd be something you could consider, but for most people, I would not advocate that kind of strategy.
Joe, great question. Congratulations on that 850 credit score. A lot of us are envious of that number, but you obviously worked hard to get it. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, helping you save more, spend less during these days of inflation. And of course, the word that nobody else is saying, except maybe we're saying it this afternoon, a recession. Michael Gentile is helping you now at 888-914-9149 as we continue on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
As President Biden has said, we've entered a new phase in our recovery, focused on achieving steady, stable growth without sacrificing the gains of the last 18 months. We know there are challenges ahead of us. Growth is slowing globally, inflation remains unacceptably high, and it's this administration's top priority to bring it down.
That's Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen about 2 hours ago, just addressing some of the numbers that we've heard today. And the numbers, of course, are the numbers in your checkbook, right? Number of factors contributed to the gross domestic product shrinking again in the second quarter, down 0.9%. All of those in Washington just going short of saying that we're actually in a recession. But you know in your own household that you're probably in a recession right now. And it's certain that we're in a recession, even though no one's saying this. But we're trying to make sense of it with Michael Gentile, who's the president and CEO of consultant financier Integritas in Canada. When we look at the numbers that they're citing in Washington, D.C., and their statements of fact that 1.2 million jobs have been created at the same time the GDP has shrunk, unemployment remains at its lowest rate in years and years and years at 3.2%, those would suggest in any other time a strong, robust economy. What's the disconnect here? Can you connect those two dots for us?
I think the disconnect is that, like we said earlier, that the pressure is building on the consumer. You're seeing a massive amount of layoff announcements and hiring freezes, in particular in the tech sector and consumer sectors as well, where the economy is starting to roll. So again, all those numbers they're quoting are rear view looking numbers. They're back. Before the Fed raised rates 150 basis points, and largely before the stock market crashed and the access to capital for many companies has been severely impaired. So the most important question they should be talking about, which they don't want to talk about, is what's the go-forward outlook and what are you doing about it? And unfortunately, the solutions I heard today was more government spending, more government swooping in to solve all your problems with their big spending plans, which
right.
We talked earlier about productivity and how Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher unleashed a wave of productivity that really helped tame inflation and robustly increase economic growth. You know, the most, we talked about the government not being able to balance their budgets earlier. The most inefficient allocator of capital, the most inefficient spender of money in the world are governments. They chronically spend it poorly, inefficiently, and much less effectively than the average American family and much less effectively than the average corporation in America. So I view the government spending more money to solve our problems will actually exacerbate the inflationary problem because, one, they print more money to spend it, and, two, they allocate it efficiently, which will further reduce the supply of goods if that money would otherwise be spent in the private sector, which is much more efficient. So they're using a playbook that, to me, is doomed to increase the problems that we're facing, not reduce them. And that's problematic to me going forward, looking at the outlook for the economy and whether we're in recession or not.
Bruce is in Seaside, California, 888-914-9149 on the Drew Mariani Show for Michael Gentile. Hi, Bruce. Welcome.
Hi. You're discussing economics, but my question is, we all know what has happened with respect to inflation with regard to the price of oil to beans. It's gone up about 10%. My question is, where is all this money going in the supply chain? The Port of Los Angeles is backed up with ships to be unloaded, and they can't unload them. What's going on? Where is all the money going? The increase.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think COVID as well, locking down countries, locking down ports, locking down businesses, further exacerbated the problem. We talked earlier about the issue of money printing, how too many dollars chasing too few goods sparks inflation. What COVID did was it reduced the amount of goods because you had factories closing, you know, whole countries being locked down or shut down for months at a time. So the normal supply of goods in the global supply chain, which you referenced, got gummed up or slowed down. So you had a shortage of goods. It also damaged the shipping channels and the supply chain. So there was less goods, less shipping available globally to move these goods around. And so you've had too many dollars chasing too few goods with reduced capacity of suppliers to produce these goods. And then you add on the war in Ukraine and you further exacerbate those problems because other supply chains have now been gummed up. That creates the perfect storm for inflation. And so this money has been inefficiently chasing too few goods, and the economy has been unable to produce enough goods to meet that demand. And so what's the Fed doing now? They're trying to raise rates to crush demand. So they're not really solving very well the lack of supply or the port backups, like you mentioned on your comment, but they're trying to squash the demand side, which is, again, a much more painful way to solve inflation rather than increasing the supply of goods and plentiful low-priced goods to allow consumers to spend more comfortably and have more disposable income at the end of the day.
Michael, speaking to Bruce's point about the Port of Los Angeles and the same thing's happening in the Port of Oakland, California, the original supply chain clog was because of draconian COVID measures that Governor Gavin Newsom had in place a couple of years ago. Some of those made sense as we were in the early days of the pandemic, but we're 2 years down the road here and a lot of those measures have been lifted. Why is there still a backup out in the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah, I'm not a global supply shifting expert, but I would say that the China has now moved down to lockdown. So the rolling lockdowns you're seeing in China is now gumming up the other side of that trade route, right? So that's been a major issue as well. And then as you're well aware of the labor shortages, you know, the better question, it was a good question of where's the money gone? Where are the workers gone?
Right.
Where have all these workers that received free money from the government, where are they gone? Like everywhere you look, the businesses are short staffed. And so being short staffed, also, you know, trucking industry has been short-staffed, shipping industry has been short-staffed. That further exacerbates the supply chain problem. So I think a cooling of the economy was necessary, given how overheated it's gotten and how few supply. But I think the government should really be focusing on increasing supply of workers, supply of goods, improving productivity for businesses, making it easier to invest, not less, more difficult to invest. If the more you can free up the entrepreneurial spirit of America, the better you'll be able to tackle or tame inflation, not with more government edicts.
Michael Gentile on Your Money this afternoon on the Drew Mariani Show. Donna's in Illinois at 888-914-9149. Hi, Donna.
Hi. My question is, why would the credit score of an individual go down even though they don't have any type of credit, debt?
Look, that's a complicated metrics on the credit score. They track your income. They track the speed at which you pay your telephone bill, your internet bill, other bills that they can track. There's multiple hundreds of variables that go into your credit score. And so it's really their assessment of your ability to pay. So even if you don't have any debt, they're tracking multiple different metrics outside of that to give you a credit score. And I don't have the black box formula in front of me. No, they don't release it, but they are tracking other metrics other than debt to assess your credit worthiness, so to speak.
So we've got about 60 seconds remaining. They want us to use the credit cards, but obviously if we pay them off at the same time, we're greasing the economy and helping ourselves too, because as they watch timely payments on our credit cards, our credit score will go up.
Correct. Yeah. If you pay the credit card companies did not prefer those customers who pay their full credit card balance every month, but that is definitely the best way to increase your credit score. And it's a good use of 30 days of revolving credit. But like I said earlier, in general, I'm not a big fan of credit cards, because most people at some point in time will lack the discipline to pay off their full monthly balance, or some financial situation will come up where they're not able to. And once you get stuck in that credit card debt cycle, it's very difficult to get out of it with a 20% interest rate attached around your debt.
Michael, as always, thank you so much for your wisdom. Michael Gentile, President and CEO of Consultant Finance here in Integritas in Canada. Michael, God bless.
God bless you. Thanks for having me on today.
Praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet and also ministering as a church to those with same-sex attraction will take you in the Courage Organization, coming up in the next hour of the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.